Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, happy Monday to you. It's nice to be back. It's fine. It's interesting, you know, the stuff that happens that you don't know about in your world. And I was talking to my Romanian neighbours last week, and guess what? What coronavirus has meant for them? It's meant a 10% cut in their wages, just made up by the company. It's a big construction company. They showed up to work and they just said, yeah, we're cutting your wages by 10%.
Why? Any reason?
Coronavirus, mate.
Yeah, but... why?
Just feel like it. Anything we can do about? No, nothing you can do about that. Could we join a union? And just, no, you're self-employed, mate. Disgusting, isn't it, really? Also, a choir of more than 100 people performed without masks at an event featuring Vice President Mike Pence at First Baptist Church in Texas on Sunday. I want to be first! And apparently, the choirs are really bad. They're super spreader events, potentially. 87% of a 122-person choir in Washington State tested positive for the coronavirus. The report said that the act of singing itself might have contributed to transmission through emission of aerosols, which is affected by loudness or vocalization. If this is the end of choirs, if it's the end of those Halifax adverts, is it a price worth paying? No, probably not. I was going to do a funny choir song about that sort of thing. Oh, here we are. I couldn't be bothered. So in all honesty, I'm in love with my new duck call that somebody sent me. So I did some duck techno instead. Here it is. Once again, on the biggest radio show in Europe, the brightest and the best, the cream rising to the top. Posting pictures on Instagram with my feet on the broadcast desk because I'm still street. What am I doing? What am I doing on this radio show? What am I doing on the biggest radio show in Europe? I don't know. Anyway, why don't you email me with some funny stories what I can read out? Wait a minute, that's the same business model as Jake Yep's podcast. The difference being an order of magnitude of something like 10,000% on the income front. Here's a record. Yeah. Well, hello once again. This is Brinsley, dear love, with That's Lovely, a cornucopia of lovely things since 1977, an unshiftable smear up the side of the schedule of this radio station. And we've got a lovely email here from Julie, who says, "Dear Bryony Beermuff, it's Brinsley, dear love, really. You are often in my thoughts as I sit down and strain to push out the negativity from my body. When I then feel empty, I like to fill up with all the things that make me feel, well, just lovely. I wanted to share some of the images which bring me joy." Well, thank you very much, Julie. I can't imagine what you mean by any of that, but that's, well, now that's lovely. A couple of little horses, or are they ponies? I'm not very up on the equines ever since that restraining order. And now that's lovely, a track winding through a sun-dappled forest. That's lovely. And, good heavens, how captivating, a hummingbird sipping from a fuchsia as he hovers in midair and flipping egg. Oh my God, that's so... What's even happening? Is that part of him? Who buys a hoist? I can't... How do I... How? What is that? Is that him? That is not lovely. That's... I think I've seen that photo somewhere before. Well, please, if you'd like to send me just lovely things, it's Brinsley, dear love. Not today at swanburst.com. And please, it's, oh, the skin is so shiny. It's so tight. And I don't even know what skin it is. Well, this is a feature that I'm sort of slowly rolling out. And I'm delighted to say John Holmes will be taking part in this later in the week, probably on Friday. It's time for this.
Game saves.
It's where we ask, what's the video game that maybe kind of carried you through a time that was a bit tricky? What was the world that you chose to inhabit over the real one? It's really interesting to read your stories. And this is one from Pablo, who says, "As a younger man, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. After riding a wave of mania and nearly losing my mind, I hit a deep, deep low. Unable to get out of bed or leave the house for 3 months, I wasn't in a good way. The doctor had recommended I go on lithium, which, from my understanding, I'd be on for life if I started it, so I held off. My only solace at the time was my PS2, and at the time I couldn't even bring myself to play it. Then one day, my brother dropped off a copy of Katamari Damacy." Oh! I mean, that game! It's such a good game. Pablo says, "It's one of those quintessentially Japanese games, which, without meaning to sound xenophobic, basically means it's insane. It is insane. Just more is more. You're a funny-looking prince who, for some unknown reason, has to push a ball around that slowly picks up bigger items and grows in size until you're rolling up buildings, countries, continents, and planets. The game and the excellent soundtrack, na 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 na, the Katamari Damacy, were a much-needed slice of pure joy. I found myself talking to people again. I started to go out and see people." Yeah, but Pablo, did you sort of walk around with a wad of chewing gum and roll up paper clips that then turned into rolling up, I don't know, water bottles and then rolling up chairs and desks and rolling up houses? Before too long, I was back to normal. The jury's still out on that one. And although I hope I'd have got there eventually without it, Katamari definitely sped up the process." Wow, that's amazing! "I've still had the occasional wobble since then, but knowing the signs, I can usually deal with it in my own way without the need for medication. Just in case, though, I have a copy of Katamari on standby in case the television begins to talk to me or I start writing illegible poetry." Yes, poetry is probably the most terrible sign that something's not right if you start writing poetry. Yop, Pablo. Oh, Pablo, thanks very much for sharing that. Gosh, yeah, Katamari Damacy is a brilliant game, and the soundtrack is stunning. I wish I could kind of share it with you, but go and find it. It's so good, and it is quite mad. I wonder if genuinely, like, the kind of the bright colours and the mad stimulus of the soundtrack, you know, as well as it just being a sort of nice, peaceful world where you get to, well, wreck it in a fun way. I don't know. Pablo, thanks so much for sharing that. As I say, we'll have John Holmes on Friday with his one of those. Got some important business to cover, though, which comes from Owen, who writes, hi, Jacob. So my uncle Peter, who's actually my mum's first cousin, but he's older, so you're supposed to call him uncle, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I'm Uncle Jake to my cousin's kids. Anyway, he was one of Dolly Parton's tax lawyers around the time Dollywood was started. Oh my God, that's amazing. And the story goes that he counseled her to do it partially as a tax hedge. No. No idea how accurate that claim is, but I do know he was definitely her tax lawyer at the time. And even if it is true, that's not to say Dolly took his advice either. Dollywood is a fantastic place from what I understand. She does a whole lot of good. It's all right. I think we've got enough caveats out the way there, Owen. Thank you. He was also chief executive and president of the production company Carolco in the late 80s, early 90s, and helped to produce Total Recall, Terminator 2, and the Rambo sequels, and apparently kind of famously insulted Arnold Schwarzenegger by saying he wanted to make, quote, real movies. Instead, that would go down well. He now runs Seven Arts, which is an art house offshoot of Carolco, from what I understand. I've heard of Seven Arts. I wonder what they do. Anyway, he's mainly famous now for tax fraud and potentially looking at 15 years in prison along with my Aunt Susan. Oh my God! I've only really met him twice. He's always been so sweet to me and my parents and grandparents. See you on the stream! Owen, thanks so much for that. Wow, what a story. Amazing. Well, we've got lots of other stuff to get through. I'm not going to get to all of your emails today. We do need to cover some of your NIF. The Pongs, namely, Julie had the idea about smell combos after Marmite and Lynx Africa teamed up to make deodorant. She thought bacon and bluebell for her and whiskey and petrol for him. James feels that male deodorant should come in wet dog or creosote scents. Why choose? Why not have both? Let's have more niffy combos. Gurfy says, what about cordite and rum? That's manly. Yes, it is. That's very good. Gemma, rabbit hutch et parmesan pour homme. Oh, rabbit hutch. That's a good, strong, manly smell. Honeysuckle and Sharpie. Pour elle, I don't know. Pour femme. Pablo suggests Monster Munch and hair gel. That's like the smell of my teens. Rodney, cooked basmati rice and honey for her. Oh, that would be nice. Twiglets and metal. For him. Oh, yeah, that hot iron smell. Oh, yeah. Oof. Vegetector says, I'd so buy whiskey and petrol. I bet that exists. We should Google that. If someone walked past me wearing it, it'd also turn my head. He also says, for the benefit of my submission to the podcast, it's the scent of urinal cakes and pub carpet. As a fairly long thread there discussing whether or not it was okay to describe them as cakes, because, come on. Cakes, says Julie. Jem asks, tentatively, channeling Piglet in Winnie the Pooh. When I don't know if you remember, there's one chapter where Piglet gets a bit trembly because he thinks he might see Christopher Robin's blue braces again, which are under his sort of tunic or something. He glimpsed them once and never forgot because they were such an amazing blue. And he goes quite giddy at the thought of it. I love how human the Winnie the Pooh thing is. Anyway, Jem gets a bit like that about artisanal products. So he asks, are these urinal cakes handmade? I doubt it. I'm sorry, Jem. You will not see the blue braces today. Kimberly says, in Texas, when someone says bluebell, I automatically think of ice cream. Okay. And says amaretto with sea breeze for him and sugar cookies with honey for her. Neil's emailed. He says, good morning, Jake. Booyaka, booyaka, jungle is massive. I wish you hadn't done that, Neil. That's okay. In response to what smells they should make as body deodorant, I think they should make cigarette smoke lager and ladies' perfume. This heady mix would serve as a reminder of my clubbing days. Quote, up Chezzy, Chesterfield. on a Friday night, Saturday night, sometimes Thursday night. Navigating an adventurous route that took in many of the local wildlife spots, the Golden Fleece, the Barking Badger, and Pink Panthers. Pink Panthers. Brilliant. The scent would get stronger and stronger the closer we got to the legend that is the Bradbury Club. The less said about what happened around the back of that club, the better. Oh, that sounds like the back stairs at the venue in New Cross. There was a certain... I mean, I never went there, but apocryphally. Anyway, there was a certain je ne sais quoi about nightclubs during the 90s. The fag, smoke, fog, the scent of Clinique and Kuros, the strains of Hadaway and Culture Beat, and the strangely moist yet sticky floor no matter where you walked. I believe that a lot of these nightclubs were probably bulldozed into the ground, not because of progress or health and safety, but because they just couldn't get the stink out of the plaster. Live long and prosper. Yes, that's a good... That was an amazingly kind of impregnated smell, wasn't it? And going into those places during the day, if you ever had a reason to. Like, I remember occasionally filming in places like that, and you'd be like, wow, so that's what it smells like in daylight. Incredible. Thank you very much for all of your contributions. They're hugely appreciated. It's good to be back. I've got some fun stuff. I'm doing some pre-records tomorrow. It's gonna feel like a revitalized podcast as we get into the week. In the meantime, though, take care of yourselves. Have a good day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Lots of love. Bye bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.